The following program is sponsored by What's Right, What's Left Ministries and is responsible for its content.
Portions of the following program may be pre-recorded.
I am Pastor Ernie Sanders, the voice of the Christian resistance. Stay tuned. My radio broadcast, What's Right, What's Left, is coming up right now.
From Independence, Ohio.
You changed our life for the better in many different ways.
Heard around the world every Monday through Friday.
Pastor Sanders is always years ahead of the rest of the media, telling you exactly what they're covering up.
This is What's Right, What's Left.
I tune in every chance I get to hear exactly what's going on with the voice of the Christian resistance.
Unabashedly cutting through the rhetoric by exposing the hard topics facing our society and world.
A lot of the other news media don't pick up the news items like he does.
And bringing to light the enemies of freedom who are out to steal your rights, your children, and enslaving you.
You really get the truth out. I can tune into your show and hear the unvarnished truth. Thank you.
This is What's Right, What's Left with Pastor Ernie Sanders.
Good evening and welcome to another edition of What's Right, What's Left. Indeed, this is the voice of the Christian resistance. And indeed, I'm Pastor Ernie Sanders. And tonight, he's courageous and he's outrageous. He's at the controls. Lord, help us. Anyhow, none other than Courageous Craig.
Good evening, everybody.
And he's rowdy and he's Randy Gay.
Hey, be blessed, no stress, everyone.
And tonight, folks, this is December 2nd, and it's little Lisa's birthday. And so here, Lisa, now you claim that for several years in a row, your birthday's fallen on the same date, December 2nd. Is that true?
Yes.
Okay, just wanted to know. Coincidental, isn't it?
Yes.
And then, that's little Lisa, folks. She's very, very, very easily entertained. That's why we have her here, right, Randy?
Amen.
Now, our special guest tonight, he's back, and he's ready to roll. And he is saying now, who is peddling the snake oil? And that's a message to the MDs and Big Pharma. Dr. Peter Glidden.
Happy birthday.
Thank
Happy
you.
Happy birthday to you.
There you go. No kidding. Her birthday's fallen on the same date several years in a row. And we find that amazing, okay? So, you know, Lisa actually weighs less than Mighty Andrew's shadow. And that's an amazing thing in itself, right? Okay, we're about to get into our Bible study. You ready, Dr. Glidden?
Yes, sir, I was born ready. And you know what else? I am never, ever, ever going to give up.
All right, that's it. You've got it. You know, a fellow named Winston Churchill came up with that saying one time. He spoke to a young group of cadets, and they asked him, "Well, Mr. Churchill, what advice do you have for us?" He got up to the podium and said, "Never give up, never give up, never give up," turned around and walked away. And some very wise words, huh? Well, and we're going to be talking a little later on about attempt a cure. Boy, well, we'll get to that. But let's get into the Bible study. Title of the message was, "Let Us Hear the Conclusion of the Whole Matter." And the point of this message was not to let the world steal your joy, not to let the world steal your joy. And we're going to start over tonight in John chapter 14 and verses. Are you over there, Randy?
Yes, I am.
Randy, going. Read me verses 1 through 3, Randy.
Sure. "Let not your heart be troubled. Ye believe in God, believe also in me. In my Father's house are many mansions. If it were not so, I would have told you. I go to prepare a place for you. And if I go and prepare a place for you, I will come again and receive you unto myself, that where I am, there ye may be also. And whither I go, ye know the way, and the way ye know."
Well, now here, He says this on the heels. He had just told Peter. Peter had just asked him in the previous chapter. Peter said, Lord, whither goest thou? And Jesus answered, said, whither I go, thou canst not follow me now, but thou wilt follow me afterwards. And then Peter said unto him, Lord, why cannot I follow thee? I will lay my life down for thy sake. And Jesus just gave Peter the bad news. Jesus answered him, wilt thou lay thy life down for my sake? Verily, verily, I say unto thee, the cock shall not crow until thou hast denied me three times, thrice. And so here now, when we take a look at this, and Jesus says, let not your heart be troubled. That was what he was telling Peter, okay? You believe in God, believe in me also. In my Father's house are many mansions. If it were not so, I would have told you. I go to prepare a place for you. And if I go and prepare a place for you, I will come again and receive you unto myself, that where I am, there you should be also. Now, so he's making some statements here. The Lord is speaking. Is he speaking with absolute authority and absolute certainty?
Oh, absolutely. But, you know, the other thing that always sticks out for me in that is that when he says, let not your heart be troubled, it's like he rolls some of the responsibilities on you, that you have a choice to make here.
You do. In fact, yes. He repeats that if you go over to verse 27. Peace I leave with you, my peace I give unto you, not as the world giveth, give I unto you. Let not let your heart be troubled, neither let it be afraid. So he's saying that the peace that we have in him is not the same as the peace that's in the world, huh?
Okay. That's right.
It's a whole different type of peace. Now here, when he says, in my Father's house, so many mentions, I go to prepare a place for you. Jesus knows when he's talking to those people, he knows that he's about to die for these people. He knows who it is he's about to die for, okay? And when he's going to prepare a place, is he going to prepare mansions for the entire world?
Oh, no.
Okay. Okay, so here, you know, and the reason is there are those that will teach that Christ died for everybody. But Christ didn't die for everybody. And specifically, in Romans 8, he tells you specifically, one after the other, after the other, after the other, who he died for. Now, was his blood sufficient to take away the sins of the whole world?
Sufficient, yes. Did it? No.
Okay. So when he's telling them that I'm going to prepare a place for you, he's going to prepare a place for those who were covered by the blood, right?
That's right.
Okay. And so here, and this is a very, very important thing, because a lot of people, you know, they take very cavalierly their salvation. This is why we tell people you really need to make your salvation sure. Many think that they were, I'll never forget, when I was a young man, I went in the army, and they were asking us our faith, what is our religion? And the two guys in front of me said, well, we were born in America, so we're Christians.
Oh, shoot.
Yeah, I'm not kidding you. No,
I totally believe that.
Yeah. And so here he's telling you that he's going to prepare a place. He's speaking with absolute authority, okay? And this is why he's making sure that they know that he will come back. He will return for them. And he says, and where I am, there you shall be also. And whither I go, you know, and the way you know. Okay. And so he's talking about when he was telling Peter, you can't follow me now, but you're going to follow me later. He's telling Peter that you're going to die. In fact, he told Peter how he was going to die. He was going to be crucified,
right?
Huh?
Mm-hmm. That's right.
Yes.
And so, Peter, any questions you have, you just jump right in there.
Sir, yes, sir.
Yep. So there you go. Now, let's go on over to Isaiah 54 and verse 17. Randy, why don't you read us Isaiah 54, verse 17.
54:17. All righty, let's get there.
See, the reason I'm making sure that Randy reads, there's some in the church that don't think he can read. and we're gonna prove them wrong, aren't we?
Yes. That's right. That's right. We're gonna do our best.
Tonight. Okay. Well, yeah.
No weapon, and here's proof of it, that no weapon that is formed against thee shall prosper, and every tongue that shall rise up against thee in judgment, thou shalt condemn. This is the heritage of the servants of the Lord, and their righteousness is of me, saith the Lord.
Okay, so we have bioweapons raised up against us. We have election fraud against us. We have deep state corruption against us. We have everything in the liberal lying media, and I mean liberal lying media, against us. We have a completely and totally corrupt anti-Christ White House. We have burn, loot, and murder, formerly known as Black Lives Matter, Antifa. We have the Muslim terrorists. We have a completely corrupted judicial system. We have corrupted, bought, and paid for prostitutors. They used to be called prosecutors. They're prostitutors nowadays.
Yes.
They're owned by George Soros. Okay. We've got the World Health Organization against us. We've got planned predators against us. We've got the drug cartels against us. We've got the human traffickers against us. We've got the Facebook, Google, Twitter, the FBI, CIA, NSA. We have the LGBTQ, that's the lewd, gross, belligerent, transgressing queers. We have the Rhino Republicans. We have witches, hussies from hell, and the Satanists, and the entire deathocratic mob, and all the demons from hell against us. But why shouldn't that bother us a bit?
Because none of this can separate us from the love of Christ.
Amen. Because he that is in us is
greater than he that's in the world.
Okay, and then we are more than conquerors and
through him that loved us.
Now, did Christ say that with authority?
He said that with absolute authority.
Yes.
With absolute power?
All power is given to him.
Yes.
Okay, there you go. And does that by itself scare the dickens out of the demons?
Yes, it does, yes. Because he will destroy them also by the sword of the word of his mouth.
All righty. So we're going to go now over to Romans chapter 8.
Okay.
And Randy, start with verse 28.
Good, verse 28, okay.
Mm-hmm.
Just about there. Oh, come on.
This is one of my favorite passages of Scripture, Peter.
Fantastic. Okay.
Yes.
And we know that all things work together for good to them that love God, to them who are called according to his purpose. For whom he did foreknow, he also did predestinate to be conformed to the image of his Son, that he might be the firstborn among many brethren. Moreover, whom he did predestine, them he also called. And whom he called, them he also justified. And whom he justified, them he also glorified. What shall we say then to these things? If God be for us, who can be against us? He that spared not his own Son, but delivered him up for us all, how shall he not with him also freely give us all things? Who shall lay anything to the charge of God's elect? It is God that justifieth. Who is he that condemneth? It is Christ that died, yea, rather, that is risen again, who is even at the right hand of God, who also maketh intercession for us. Who shall separate us from the love of Christ? Shall tribulation, or distress, or persecution, or famine, or nakedness, or peril, or sword? As it is written, for thy sake we are killed all the day long. We are accounted as sheep for the slaughter. Nay, in all these things we are more than conquerors through him that loved us. For I am persuaded that neither death, nor life, nor angels, nor principalities, nor powers, nor things present, nor things to come, nor height, nor depth, nor any other creature shall be able to separate us from the love of God, which is in Christ Jesus our Lord.
Amen. So we go back, and he says, we know that all things work together for good to them that love God. You know, we have the here and now. I mean, that's it. We cannot reclaim 5 minutes ago, right?
Right.
And you know, we might not be here in 5 minutes. We never know what's going to happen, right?
Yes.
So, but God is working in a continual. He's working in the past, present, and future. Now, when he says, we know that all things work together for good to them that love God and to them that are called according to his purpose. Now, you say, well, how could that possibly be? There's so many, there's billions of people, right? And look at all, how could he do that? Well, what does the Lord Jesus say about God's power?
That it's infinite. It's all power. And when he says all, he means all the power there is. God has all the power there is.
Okay, so is that kind of hard to wrap your brain around, Peter? Omnipotence?
Really hard to wrap your brain around. Before the world was, I am. I think about that all the time. It's impossible to conceptualize.
Well, not only before the world was, okay, but God created time. He existed before time itself. And time is simply a measurement, okay, of from moment to moment to occurrence, and also from one point to another in space. And so God was there before time existed, and that's really, really hard to wrap your brain around, okay? But then it goes this.
The idea that God even had the concept of time. I mean, think about that. He had to think about making it, making time. I mean, just the concept of the time.
Yes.
I bet you never would have thought of that.
Oh, no, because I can't figure out how a brown cow can eat green grass and give white milk. I don't know how that.
You know, Fauci says follow the science. That's all I can tell you now. Here we go. So here he says this, for whom he did foreknow, he also did predestinate to be conformed to the image of God. So the Lord died for those that he did foreknow, huh?
Yes.
And so he died for those he did predestinate, and then he died for those that he did conform, okay? So now he goes on that he says that he might be the firstborn among many brethren. Moreover, whom he did predestinate, them he also called. So he died for those that he called. Whom he called, them he also justified. And whom he justified, them he also glorified. Okay, so here he's making. Is there any stuttering going on there?
No.
Is that
no.
Perfectly clear?
It yes. Is.
And so he says here, what shall we then say to these things? If God be for us, who can be against us? He spared not his own son, but delivered him up for us all. How shall he not freely with him also freely give us all things? Who shall lay anything to the charge of God's elect? So, wait a minute. There are people that are making accusations against us all the time. They're accusing us of all kinds of things, right? How does that work?
The blood of Christ cleanses us from all of these things, because in our way of thinking, in a rational mind, which the natural man receives not the things of God, but in a rational mind, we are guilty of all of those things. We are.
Well, I know what the point of it is, but the world is always accusing us. But now, what standing and what authority does the world's accusation have against God's elect?
No, none.
Okay, yeah. So it's hollow. Now, here, the Pope said that, humanly speaking, Christ failed at Calvary. Christ failed at Calvary. So now let me ask you this. What is it in God's word, the Bible, that is said that God has failed at?
Well, God hadn't failed at anything.
So, God cannot fail.
That's right.
What does it mean to be omnipotent?
That all power, like I said, all the power that there ever was and will be is his. It's all power.
So, well, then, if Christ died for everybody, and since everybody's not saved, that's what the Pope said, then Christ failed. But if Christ cannot fail, then, if that's the case, then everybody would be saved. If he died for everybody, and then everybody would be saved, right? If he can't fail, right?
That's, well,
what do you think, Peter?
Yeah, I think that I'm in complete agreement with you 100%. I don't know why, you know, the Pope would say that, and unless it's because he's the Pope.
Well, you know, I can tell you this. I've never seen more Catholics in my life, Catholics referring to the Pope as the Antichrist, you know, than it's unbelievable how many Catholics I know that are actual real Catholics that are really upset with him, and including a number of his bishops and cardinals. But
and it goes, and it doesn't, I mean, it doesn't just stop with this Pope. It goes way back to the Pope that was around during World War II and World War I. There was a lot of collusion with the Nazis, with the Vatican in World War II. It was horrible what happened there. And I don't know if you know this about me, and it might not be relevant at all, but I thought that I would bring it up. But when I was a young man, I was inches away from becoming a Catholic priest. Inches away from becoming a Catholic priest. I felt a strong calling when I was a young man, and the only religion that I knew growing up where I grew up on an island 30 miles out in the Atlantic was the Roman Catholic Church. And I was very strongly drawn towards it until, guess what? A visiting deacon, tried to get me to drop my pants in the sanctum of the church 5 minutes before Mass. That's the truth.
Goodness.
Well, I'm glad you didn't do it.
Yeah.
There you go. But, you know, what you said about World War II Nazis, yeah. You know, the worst part about that was that were a number of those Roman Catholic priests that were actually priests, and they were murdered by the Nazis, just as the Baptists, they killed off as many Baptists they could find. But those that stood their ground and would not compromise, those that were even a few Lutherans stood their ground, and Hitler killed them all off. And if the church had stood their ground, if they had been for real and stood their ground, that wouldn't have happened, huh?
Yeah, I doubt it.
And so he says this, who shall separate us from the love of Christ? Shall tribulation or distress or persecution or famine or nakedness? Well, here, this is one of the most comforting passages in all of the scripture, and here's why. The Lord Jesus himself is making intercession for us. He's making it, now, there's nothing, he takes you to the very realm of life. Then he takes you to the very realm of death. He takes you to the realm of the past, the present, and the future. He takes you to the very realm of the entire universe. He takes you to the realm of angels. And he's telling you that there's nothing that ever has been, is now, or ever will be out there that can separate us from the love of Christ, meaning this, that we can't lose our salvation.
Amen. Mm-hmm.
That's what the separation would be, huh?
Amen.
Yes.
And it also means that if you think about it, when all this is going on, until you kind of further along in your walk, you really think that you are separated from the love of Christ.
Right.
And what you realize is how wrong you are, that nothing does. But let's face it, things can get so bad that you really think that God has left you.
Yes.
Oh, yeah. Well, you see, that was the point with Peter there when he told Peter, after he told Peter, Peter, you're going to deny me three times. And I think that's exactly when Peter got saved, was because it says that after the cock crowed, Peter looked and he had eye contact with the Lord, and he broke down and wept. And I think that's where he really got saved, right there. And then I think he remembered the words that the Lord Jesus said when he told him there, you know, to be of good cheer. Okay. All right. We are up against a break. We're going to be back right after this with a whole lot more. So don't go away. More to come.
Of the dear Savior's birth.
Alrighty, folks, we have situations here right now. We had some prayer requests. All right, we have a fellow from People's Baptist Church named Matt. That's Matt, right? Mac, okay, that needs prayer. Also, we have Clark, Julie, and Lucas, and all of them are in the hospital right now, and all of them are very, very ill, and they have called and asked for prayer. So right now, Randy, would you offer a prayer for Mac, Clark, Julie, and Lucas?
Okay. Dear Lord, we pray that Mac, Clark, Julie, and Lucas might be recipients of your grace, your mercy, and your healing hand. Please grant them peace and comfort and even joy as they go through a trying time. I ask, dear Lord, that you might restore them above and beyond the health they enjoyed prior to this, and may they have union, communion, fellowship. May this strengthen their faith, and may this encourage other people around them to come to you so that you might receive the honor and the glory, and that they might be witnesses unto you, and that we all might be witnesses unto you. And this we pray in Jesus' name. Amen.
And Heavenly Father, too, we ask that you would be also a comfort to their family and loved ones right now at this time. Again, this, too, we would ask in Jesus' name. I've got a very quick announcement I want to make here. Geauga County Right to Life. And, folks, Geauga County Right to Life, you know what they're known for? Over since 1974, Dr. Glidden, we've saved over 24,000 babies from a cruel and painful death of abortion, and Geauga County Right to Life was a big part of that. And so they're having a concert. Why? Because we're still fighting. We're still fighting. In fact, tomorrow we're going to have, we have people, doers of the word. Doers of the word are going to be out there at 12,000 Shaker Boulevard tomorrow morning about 8:30. And, folks, we're out there to save babies. And they're asking some of you out there that can come and join them tomorrow to help them. Come and stand with them. 12,000 Shaker Boulevard. That's an eastbound lane at East 122nd Street tomorrow morning at 8:30. So come and take a stand and be with those folks. Now, so Geauga County Right to Life, they're having their classical Christmas concert. It's a good one. It really is. Several gifted local musicians with a variety of instruments and arrangements will be sharing their versions of Christmas music selections for the annual Right to Life Christmas concert. And Lord's willing, I will be there. Randy will be there.
Absolutely.
And so will I.
Little Lisa will be there. I don't think they'll let you in the building, but you can be there. Okay, little Lisa can be there. Okay, she can be right there, folks. And anyhow, so come out and meet us. The address is the Chester Christian Center. That's the Assembly of God Church at 11815 Chillicothe Road. That's Route 306. It's about 2 miles north of Route 322 on Route 306, or it would be about 3 miles south of Route 6 on Route 306. And that's tomorrow, or that's this coming Sunday at 7 p.m., okay? Now, Doers of the Word Baptist Church has its regular Sunday, and that's at 14781 Sperry Road, 14781 Sperry Road, Newberry. Morning service starts at 9 a.m. with praise and worship, 9:30, in-depth Bible study, 11:15, the morning service, and then at 4 o'clock, we've been going through a series because there's been a tremendous rise in witchcraft, and we're having some classes on that workshop. And then at 5 o'clock, we do current events. And boy, do we have some real current events that you really need to know about. And then the evening service starts at 6 p.m. And then it's going to end at 6:30. And we're going to, no, it'll be 5:30. It's going to start this week. And then it'll end at 6:30. And then we all go, the whole church goes over to the concert, right?
Right. That's right.
Okay, and with that, I got to say this. Look, I got to read this. To all holistic health practitioners, users, and advocates, the red-headed orphans that society has marginalized, criticized, slandered, and labeled as crackpots and quacks, to those practitioners of health, of healing arts, who in spite of unrelenting political adversity in the face of a vile and unwarranted criticism by people of lesser minds, while in direct receipt of the demagoguery levied upon them by the very people that they were trying to help, persisted in their quest for the upliftment of humankind, these are the people to whom The book is dedicated. I am proud to count myself amongst their numbers. So here's my question for you, for Dr. Glidden. Who is peddling the snake oil now? And I think you know what I mean.
Tony Fauci.
You bet.
Yes.
You bet. I've got articles here. Shocking. Confidential. Pfizer document exposes FDA criminal cover-up of vaccine deaths. They knew the jabs were killing people in early 2021. Three times more women than men. Here's another one. The World Health Organization is now saying that these vaccines really doesn't do any good. But, you know, no kidding, right?
Right.
Go ahead, take it away, Dr. Glidden.
Well, it's more of the same. I mean, and it's, you know, it's just like what the liberals do. It's a liberal agenda. Whatever they blame other people for doing, that's what they're doing. So they've been pointing to myself and my colleagues and the chiropractors and the homeopaths and everybody who's not an MD for the last couple of hundred years, painting us as quacks with back-of-the-bus training, substandard, dangerous treatments. And they're the ones that are peddling substandard and dangerous treatments, for goodness sakes. And history doesn't repeat itself. It rhymes, for goodness sakes. You know, first it was high doses of mercury, then it was bloodletting, then it was high doses of calomel, then Bextra kills thousands of people, then Vioxx kills thousands of people, then thalidomide causes thousands of birth defects, chemotherapy kills millions of people, and is over 90% ineffective at helping people cure cancer, and yet nobody goes to jail. Oh, from my point of view, Pastor, this coronavirus stuff, as bad and as horrible as it is just more of the same. It's just writ large now. It's writ large on the world stage for everybody to see. For goodness sakes, you're welcome to your own opinion, but not your own set of facts. The leading cause of death in the United States of America, not, you know, I'm not talking about recent COVID times. The leading cause of death in the United States of America for the last 50 years, MD-directed medical therapeutics. The leading cause of bankruptcy in the United States, MD-directed medical therapeutics. And while the medical doctors have been in complete, utter, and total control of the development and delivery of medicine since 2012, by the way, since 1912.
Can I jump in just for a second? Because I guess you could put that in that category, but child killing by abortion by far is the leading cause of death of human beings. And, of course, that would be caused by those that are called MDs.
100%, and there's a reason for that, and nobody talks about the reason for it. You know, I'm a licensed naturopath, and because I'm a licensed naturopath, I'm trained in holism, which means you attempt to look to the root cause of things all the time, right? Look to the root cause and try to eliminate the root cause. Try to stimulate the body's ability to fix itself. So what's the root cause of abortion? I'll tell you what the root cause of abortion, and nobody's talking about it except me. The root cause of abortion is medical professionals brought up inside of an atheistic philosophy. Your medical doctor may be very religious in their private life, but when they go to work, they're practicing atheism. Because MDs don't practice medicine. They practice allopathic medicine. And allopathic medicine is rooted in reductionistic philosophy. It's the philosophy of Sir Isaac Newton. If it can't be measured, it doesn't exist. So to an allopathically trained medical doctor, since nobody's dissected the soul out of the human body or seen it with an MRI or a CT scan or an X-ray, doesn't exist. All things having to do with all things metaphysical and spiritual are fictional to the reductionistically trained medical doctor. So there's no soul, there's no spirit, there's no indwelling vital force, there's no life after death. There's no such thing as angels or God or spirit. It's all a fiction created by the mind. And here's the sticking point. Consciousness itself is a function of biochemistry. So inside of this atheistic paradigm, the medical doctor gets to decide when life begins. Some medical doctors think, whoa, it must be at conception. And other medical doctors think, oh, no, it's when the heart starts to beat. And other medical doctors think, oh, no, it's when the baby can survive all by itself outside of the mother's room. And other doctors think, oh, no, it's at the moment of birth. And they're all throwing crap against the wall to see what sticks because they are not rooted in reality. They're rooted in atheism, which has thrown the baby out with the bathwater, pun intended, regretfully, in this metaphor. And ultimately, the abortion issue doesn't have anything to do with a woman's right. It is not a woman's right to choose. It's about when does life begin. If a woman chose to slit her baby's throat with a knife an hour after it was born, that's murder. A woman can't choose to do that. The question here is, when does life begin? But because medical doctors are brought up inside of an atheistic worldview, they change those goalposts all of the time. And that's the biggest problem with medicine, that your medical doctor is an atheist.
Well, actually, in New York City, you can do that. In the state of New York, they passed some of the most wicked, evil, ungodly, lesser human beings actually passed legislation. You know, I would have loved it if somehow I could get in that New York state legislature and have the doors locked where they couldn't get out. And I can tell you this thing, but by the time I was finished preaching heaven sweet and hell hot from God's word, what they need to hear, their hair would be on fire. But they actually passed legislation and they applauded when that extremely wicked, ungodly Governor Cuomo, laughing, said, now we can kill babies even after they're born. That wicked state, New York state legislator applauded. These people are wicked to the bone.
And it's all out in the open now. There's no more hiding it. In the past, it was all hidden. It was done behind doors, you know, in smoke-filled rooms. Now it's right outside in front of everybody's face. And, you know, I don't know, Pastor. I mean, I understand everything that you talked about in the prologue. I get it. But, you know, I'm looking back at history. And, you know, I thought that everything was going to change after thalidomide. Nothing did. I thought everything was going to change after Bextra. Nothing did. I thought everything was going to change after Vioxx. Nothing did. I thought that the abortion thing would move the needle, but it hasn't. And maybe this coronavirus nonsense, which is, you know, falling down like a house of cards, finally, there are medical doctors around the world who are standing up and telling people what I was telling people and you were telling people 2 years ago. Finally, these people are catching a clue. Maybe this is enough to move the needle. And this has been my message for the last 30 years. It's simple. Your medical doctor may be the nicest person that God created, but your medical doctor is not trained in medicine. And your medical doctor does not know what's best for you. They only know what they've been trained in. And the type of medicine that they've been trained in is referred to as allopathic medicine, which is fantastic for trauma care, surgery when it's necessary, and a handful of conditions like dentistry and obstetrics and childbirth. But for most of the conditions that most people go to a medical doctor for most of the time, allopathic medicine is a failed, dangerous methodology. It does not offer cures. It only offers symptom management through pharmaceuticals and surgery, which make people weaker and sicker over time. It's a failed methodology. The best possible thing that anybody can do for their health, and this is where people stop listening to me, oh, Dr. Glidden, you can't be serious, but I am. The best possible thing that you can do for your health is to fire your medical doctor and consult a naturopathic physician or somebody trained in the holistic method.
And now here's where we got a problem, okay? And you have the very same problem in your profession that I have in mine, you see. But because now one thing about these medical doctors, they have very strict, they have to go to school. Even though what they're being taught is not necessarily the right thing, but you have to pass it. You've got to spend the money. You've got to put in your time, and you've got to get that piece of paper to put on the wall, okay, to show that you've done that. Now, unfortunately, today, with people and naturopaths, you can get a license to be a naturopath through the mail order. And guess what? You can get ordained through mail order as an ordained minister, okay, of about whatever religion you want. Because, and what's happened there, this has been done purposely by the Antichrist world system, both with your profession and with mine, okay? And what it is a sense to turn people away from the true men of God, the true doctors, and to totally discredit the profession. What do you think?
It's a crying shame. I mean, you're absolutely right. It's been happening for a long time. You know, the enemy apparently is very, very smart and has plans within plans within plans, and it's a problem because, let's be honest, Pastor, most people don't even know how to pronounce naturopathy, let alone know what a naturopathic doctor is, what the training of a naturopathic doctor is, what naturopathic medicine is good at, what naturopathic medicine is bad at. Most people don't even know that their medical doctor doesn't practice medicine, that their medical doctor practices allopathic medicine. Most people have never even heard the term allopathic. And this has all been done on purpose. This has all been done on purpose over centuries. And, you know, my people are destroyed by lack of knowledge.
Well, see, here's the thing, Peter. Okay, what they don't understand, that the real people out there, naturopathic medicine, okay, what you practice, okay, there are people like yourself and others, and I've known a number of them, who are for real. You are the real article. And what's happened, though, is that these others, these phonies, just like these prosperity preachers and that to come down the line to give Christianity a bad name, these folks have come down the line. But you those of you that are real, for real, you actually spend your time. There is a tremendous amount of science, for real science, and you actually heal people. You actually cure the disease, or you cure the ailment using what God has provided for you. And you're for real. But the problem of it is like you said, because the enemy, you know, I had read a litany of enemies that we were against. One of those was, of course, the fake news media. The enemy has blinded the eyes of the vast majority of people, huh?
Oh, 100%. I mean, you know, and again, history doesn't repeat itself. It rhymes. If the story's true, not everybody who had the chance to got on board the ark, right? Not everybody who had the chance to did that. They could have done it, but they didn't do it. Same here. Not everybody who has the chance to, and by the way, everybody has the chance to, because we're not in a gulag, not yet, doesn't use the services of a holistic practitioner because they don't know any better.
Let me read you out of 2 Corinthians chapter 4. It says this: But if our gospel be hid, it is hid to them that are lost, in whom the God of this world hath blinded the minds of them that believe not, lest the light of the glorious gospel of Christ, who is the image of God, should shine unto them. And that's talking about salvation and the teaching of God's word. And what you use, holistic medicine, the apothecary, this is what God has given us, our creator, our manufacturer says, here, I made you, I made your body this way, and these are the things I've given to you, okay, for your maintenance of your body. You and I know this, but... Well, you know, and the vast majority of people out there, you know, when you talk to and you tell them about pharmakia, wizardry, witchcraft, when they look at you, you say, this is where you get the word pharmacy from. It's about witchcraft and wizardry. They look at you like, huh? Where in the world did you ever come up with that? I watch television. I see this, it's advertised on TV. We're supposed to do what we hear advertised on TV, aren't we?
Yeah, you know why the pharmaceutical industry spends more money on direct-to-consumer advertising than they do on research and development? Do you know why they do that?
Yeah, because they dumb the people down.
because it works.
Yep.
That's exactly it. It's 100% correct. Did you know that Pfizer paid Trump $1 million for his inauguration? Did you know that?
I wouldn't doubt it. I had heard that, yeah.
And that's one of the reasons why Trump initiated Operation Warp Speed, and that's one of the reasons why now Trump is lying to the American people, saying, oh, the vaccine's safe. Oh, the vaccine is harmless. I'm proud that I got the vaccine. He's obviously been bought off. He's not stupid. You know, you can say a lot of things about Trump, but he's not stupid. So his continued promotion of the poisonous poke now is a direct indication.
Yeah, but in all fairness, let's give him this thing. I heard him just today again say, whether or not you take that should be your choice. If you don't feel right about it, then you shouldn't have to take it. That should be your choice. It should not be mandated. Where, on the other hand, Mr. Biden out there, remember what he said about 4 months ago? There will be no mandates. Of course, what do we have? Mandates. And now he just recently came out and said, we're not going to shut down because of this new virus. There will be no more shutdowns. So what does that tell you he's going to do?
Shut it down.
That's right. And before the midterms. Got it to be done before the midterms. So I can't, you know, first of all, $1 million for Trump is nothing, okay? This guy's a multi-billionaire, okay? And he doesn't even take his own salary. He turned down more than that. There's got to be something more, Peter. There's got to be something more. I think from the very beginning, they just snookered him because he was surrounded, just like he's been surrounded from the deep state. From the very beginning, they've had him surrounded. And I think he trusted people to give him good medical advice, and they betrayed him. And now I think he still hasn't figured it out yet. What do you think?
I think you might be correct there, because he might be a victim of the medical monopoly the way that everybody else is. And this is, again, a very interesting thing to dwell on, right? Because knowledge is power, and the proper perspective brings everything into focus. Because we've all grown up inside of a medical monopoly since 1912, 109 years of a medical monopoly, people look around and they see, well, son of a gun, the only medicine practiced in my hospital is MD medicine. The only medicine my insurance pays for is MD medicine. The only medicine they do research on at the university I graduated from is MD medicine. The only medicine I see commercials on TV for is MD medicine. And the only medicine they make TV shows and movies about is MD medicine. Therefore, the MDs must be better at what they do than everybody else. That's a logical conclusion. Unless and until you understand the data point that in 1912, the MDs exerted a hostile takeover of the medical marketplace. And they did, with the help of the Carnegies and the Rockefellers. In 1912, Congress granted the American Medical Association exclusive control over who could and who couldn't practice medicine. They kicked everybody else off of the bus. And now, in the wonderful world of today, the only thing that can legally treat a drug in the United States, treat a disease in the United States, is a drug. Think about that. The only thing that can legally treat a disease in the United States is a drug. Now, are there any naturopathic doctors at the FDA? No. Are there any homeopathic doctors or herbalists or Ayurvedic practitioners or traditional Chinese medical practitioners or acupuncturists on the FDA or the CDC? No. And why is that? Well, it's because it's a monopoly, and it's good to be the king. And I honestly think that most people who are in these positions of power and most people who don't really know any better and don't really have any experience with this, they actually think that the medical doctors are better than what they do at everybody else. And, you know, that's a bad gamble. And I think it has everything to do with how we've been educated, how we've been brought up.
How we've been deceived. And you know what? When I was a young man, I believed in that. I mean, I thought I had some trust in these companies and that. But now, you know, when I've seen just how corrupt they are, I've gotten absolutely no trust in them at all. And we're coming up against a break. When we come back, I got something else to share with you, what you said about We'll be right back after this. Don't go away.
Fight the fire.
Thank you for listening to What's Right, What's Left, the voice of the Christian resistance. To support this ministry, head to WRWL.org. That's WRWL.org. Mail your donations to What's Right, What's Left Ministries, 14781 Sperry Road, Newberry, Ohio, 44065. If you missed part of tonight's program, you can check out the podcast at thewordcleveland.com. TheWordCleveland.com. Once again, thank you for listening and supporting What's Right, What's Left Ministries, the voice of the Christian resistance. Stay tuned. The second hour is coming up next.